Now I get the green light. All right, hey everybody, welcome back. It is the Watchtower, back from a long hiatus. It is I, Thomas Zavante. I'm here with Stinky Breath Noah Moyer.
I'm a little stuffy.
Just a little bit. Is it the allergy season?
I think so. Let me get over a cold.
Let me show you what I've been dealing with today. There's a rip in my pants right there. Right in the crotch.
Yeah, I'm looking directly like just like it about.
It's right where my balls are.
Well, I was gonna say just about taint level balls, maybe balls.
No, it's direct. It's kind of. You know what? It is kind of.
Listen, everybody's different. Okay.
It's like no. It's like where I'm sitting right now.
This is a fantastic.
When
start.
I'm standing, it's taint. When I'm sitting, it's balls. Does this make sense?
Absolutely.
So yeah, so just imagine if I wasn't wearing underwear.
You guys might notice like a kind of really nice audio quality going on. Tom actually was able to snag
a lot of shit, honestly.
Two cardioid mics, which we're both speaking through right now, and an audio, like a small Tascam audio interface that he got to, which took like half an hour to figure out, but
yeah,
we got it.
So. We did figure it out.
But we're all good now. What have you been playing, Tom?
Oh my god, dude. It's one of those times of the year again where I've just been playing Crazy Taxi when I find the time. And I've been beating high scores. I'm trying to beat my arcade high score. I've been doing a lot. I beat my original high score, which is my best map. I got 12,900 something. Which is, in the world of Crazy Taxi.
Okay, I was going to say, it's not like I know.
Kind of like chum change numbers, honestly. It's not that impressive. But for me, it's a pretty big whoopty whoop.
Yep.
But
that's awesome, man.
Thanks. It's honestly, I'm loving it. It's a game I've always loved. Yeah. But I find when I don't play it for a while and I come back into it hard, mm-hmm. I get like addicted. I see why. Yeah. I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, but that game got like a rave response when it came out.
Like
you go back.
What do you mean?
Like we're talking like it got nothing but like nines.
Oh, a grave. I attuned grave as a negative thing.
Oh no, I said rave.
Oh, rave. I thought you said grave.
Well, you're on the earbuds, so you probably if I misspoke, you definitely might have heard me better. But no, yeah, it got nothing but like a warm ass response from people.
I believe it.
A big fan.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally.
I actually was the one who like piqued my interest in playing it again because as a kid, yeah. I only I knew it from arcades.
Yeah,
I knew
totally.
It going on vacation. In Disney World, because I was a spoiled brat, they had.
How was that, Tom?
What's up?
How was that going to Disneyland?
Being a spoiled brat, going to Disney World. Actually, I'd never been to Land, but World. They had some mean arcades there.
Yeah, I've been there
a few times.
Once,
yeah,
I think.
I
didn't go with you that one time.
Oh, I remember it now.
Yeah,
but they had a. I remember it vividly. They had a Pizza Planet. The arcade from Toy Story.
Yeah.
Done there. The pizza's garbage.
Like, oh, really? Is it, like, actually bad?
All their food there, kind of.
It's not Epcot, right?
Well, it's like this. It's like, there's Disney vending food. I don't know why I'm going so far.
It was like Disney Downtown, right?
No, yeah, okay.
That
so
has great
shit. Disney vending food, like, Disney themselves, like, it's, imagine, like, you're at school.
Yeah.
And there's the dining hall, there's C3. But right outside the dining hall is, like a K Cafe food truck.
Okay, yeah.
It's like that. Like the good places to eat are all vendors that Disney has hired to make their place better food wise.
That's not bad.
No, oh my god. It's better than just dealing with the shitty food. What have you been playing?
Actually right now, I think I told you a little about this the other night, but I've been playing a lot of Rising Storm 2, Vietnam.
Oh, yes. The new campaign
because they just
out.
Added a new multiplayer campaign, which basically it so imagine all 11 years of the Vietnam War, and this is also preface this with, I'm not like talking in the trying to talk in the Vietnam War as a positive light or any positive thing. This is just like, it's a game. So
to think like almost all wars are not ever a positive thing.
No, totally, but I just didn't want to get misconstrued as like, oh yeah, this shit's fucking awesome kind of thing, you know what I mean? But it takes place across 11 years of the war. Each year holds, so it's like a big map of Vietnam, North and South Vietnam, and basically you have a certain amount of action points and combat points that you use split up into the two teams, where you decide to spend those points is what territories you can attack or defend or whatever. And throughout the 11 years and the 11 maps, which it took me about 4 hours total to get through everything, you'll have about it. I'm trying to find a really succinct way of explaining this, and it's hard. Basically, it's 11 maps across every map that's in the game, even new ones.
You lost.
You get different. You get different. You know, units and armies and helicopters don't even come until later in the war, and then certain helicopters can't be used in certain battles and things like that. Also, depending on what kind of combat pyre you have, depends on the kind of reinforcements you can get within the map, which, like, the commander has certain powers it can use, like artillery, napalm, on the opposing side to be, like, tunnels and mass deployment and things like that. So everything's very variable on how you're playing map to map, and it carries over each time.
To kind of add my two cents on it as well, after talking with you about it, mm-hmm. the historical accuracy part of it, I think, is kind of important to bring up. Like, the reason you can't do certain things is because going through the 11 years of the war, and at certain times in the war, depending on who's fighting, kind of dictates what you can and can't do.
Yeah, like sometimes.
And even guns.
No, certain weapons, like whether or not you're fighting as Australia, South Vietnam, the U.S. Army, U.S. Marines. It's all very dependent on that, and it's so I'm huge on, like Tom knows, I'm huge on like aircraft in games. Like, I'd love being like the pilot guy or
pretty
the transport pilot
outside
guy.
Outside of games,
you're,
as well,
you're not wrong. Yeah, but it I find an immense amount of enjoyment doing that. So like, it's much like a lot like armor, and that takes you like, you know, 6 to 10 hours to learn how to fly the aircraft in that game, and it got to the point where I'm actually comfortable flying it and doing stuff in it. And that's and I don't even get to do that till like 4 maps in, but it's weird because they found a way, because I'm a fan of the other Rising Storm game and also Red Orchestra, because they found a way to kind of make really good team gameplay, also, you know, tactical. People would like very naturally work together. It might be just because it's a more mature audience, but it's a more complex game, mm-hmm. While also being able to have kind of like a fast-paced game at the same time. You normally want to attribute, you know, really realistic, really team play, really all these things with a lot of action happening at once. But like, that happens throughout the entire match. There will be low moments when you're transporting to places or things like that. But even that's not that long in the grand scheme of things. It really, really isn't never really a dull moment when you're playing that game, unless you're being like just completely like spawn trapped by the other team. Other than that, which barely happens because most maps don't cater to that. There's only like one or two that do. I've been playing all of that, and then I also got sucked into Overwatch again because I should tell this story because it happened. Was it last night? I think it was last night. And so I was about to hit the point where I think a lot of people hit where you know, if they're playing video games a lot, they kind of hit it like a point where they're like, I'm kind of burning out. Kind of thing,
no,
you know what I mean?
Know,
like, I think I'm gonna, like, I'm not gonna want to play video games like a couple weeks or a month or something like that. That happens to people sometimes, and understandably, because video games attribute a lot of your own personal time. But I felt like I was about to hit that, and I was like, I'll just get my rank in Overwatch for this competitive season just to get that out of the way if I want to come back and play. So I did that, and first match didn't go great. Second match, holy shit! Like, it was like one of the most fun and the best matches of Overwatch I have ever played in my life. It was just so close between teams, and my team was communicating really well and was also really friendly, so that probably definitely added to it. And at the end of the match, it went into overtime, so it was 3-3. So both teams got all objectives, and it was down to overtime. And we got it a certain amount of distance. They stopped us. We didn't even get 1 point. So that was they were first. Sorry. And they were pushing the payload out. They were actually really, really pushing us back, but they weren't moving because we kept contesting the point until it was overtime. Like, overtime in overtime.
They call that double overtime.
Yeah. And then I get my ult. I'm playing as Junkrat. I send it in. I kill 4 of their teammates, like 4 of their most important teammates.
Well, it's that. Well, like I will say, 4 people is like how much of the team?
It's it's like pretty much the entire team.
Yeah, I was about to say. There's two more most people. Important.
Yeah, and then I go in, I wipe one more, and then I wipe the last one. They're all dead, and one comes out really fast because I killed him. He got killed earlier because I didn't kill the last guy till a little later, so he was able to contest the point again. And then Reinhardt, which is the guy with the huge shield, he can charge out. So he charges out to the side, and he's charging toward the side of the map where the map ends and you can fall off, kind of thing. But there's a big house in the way, so there's no way he could have done it. Until he started charging, he grabbed one of my teammates because he can pin them. I put a mine down, detonated. He went up over the house flying. It was one of the honestly, it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. That's it was hilarious. More impressive with that than the multi-kill.
Wow.
He kept going, and he carried the momentum, but at a certain point, if he doesn't hit anything, he drops your teammate, right? And he keeps soaring. He just goes straight off the map, and I get the kill credit for it. It was amazing. I was like, well, I'm back. I guess I'm playing this, forever now.
Yeah, see, that's funny you say that, because it's reminding me that before I started getting into Crazy Taxi again, when I got hooked on that, I did play some other games.
Yeah.
When I first got back to school, I was playing Fallout New Vegas again in preparation for 76. Totally. I've been doing a big playthrough, but this I got to the DLC Honest Hearts.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing DLC. It's about this guy, the Burning Man, who was a member of Caesar's army, who gets burned alive after they lose at the Battle of the Hoover Dam, and he gets dropped into a canyon, and he lives. And there he returns to his home in the Grand Canyon, and it turns out he's Christian. Apparently, one of the very few religions that's going to survive the apocalypse. Yep, you bet. It's the Jesus. It's the Jesus, friends. Not any knock. It's just I was dumbfounded. I totally forgot about that going in, that they were devout Christians. And he's spitting all this stuff at me, giving me an existential crisis. But it's an absolutely phenomenal DLC. I love it. In terms of location, it's actually probably the blandest one in all the DLCs. But in terms of character, story, and overall things to do, it's a pretty robust experience.
Yeah.
The thing I forgot, I've never did it before, but there's these six secret spots located throughout the map called the Survivalist, Stashes, I believe was the name.
Yeah.
About this guy who was, I believe, a Marine, and the bombs dropped. And he was, in a perfect spot to not be affected by it. He really? Could see wow. in one direction a bunch of flashes, see in the other direction a bunch of flashes, and he was just oh, shit. Everyone I know is dead. My wife and kid are dead. And, he deals with that, and he proceeds to, live. He's, 28, 30 when it happens. He proceeds to live till he's 90.
That's crazy.
And it's a crazy 60-year odyssey of this guy's life, and to get the whole story, you have to find all the locations.
That's really cool.
See, that's what really I miss. Well done.
Yeah, no.
Let's not talk about anything new in Fallout, because they don't do it that well. Well, that has to do more with, I want to say, Obsidian's kind of mentality with Fallout. Even though I will admit Fallout 3 had stuff like that in it. I also will say, even the DLCs and Four do stuff like that. Totally. I thought Far Harbor had some nice small things like that in it. And I thought Nuka World had some real... Well, I really enjoyed Nuka World, though. Had, these really cool small things. But that Survivalist crate one was, it's amazing when you can go back to a game, especially one you've thought you played the living shit out of, and find something like that you really didn't either...
Totally, absolutely.
It's not that I don't think I didn't find the stashes before. I just didn't pay any fucking attention to them.
Absolutely. No, the same thing happens to me all the time because you know how much I play... The way you play Fallout is the way I play The Witcher 3, right?
Yeah, we've talked about
in the Witcher series.
Yeah.
And it because of... Obviously, because of how robust these worlds that they built for us are, you just continue to find things years and years later. It's it's almost impossible to... consume everything in one run.
And you got to enjoy, too, especially The Witcher does this, and New Vegas especially is really good at this, is the variety in the way you can handle things and how it differentiates. There's a character in this playthrough, very, very beloved character in New Vegas named Cass. She's an early companion you come across. She's a daughter of one of your companions from Fallout 1. I've traveled with Cass for years.
That's
this
cool.
time, I was like, fuck her. Met the Van Graffs. They were like, we need to kill Cass. Bring her here. I was like, no problem. Brought her there. They iced that bitch. I got 500 caps.
Well worth it.
Well worth it. The Van Graffs, they paid me well. And then it came to the moment where the Brotherhood of Steel was like, go kill the Van Graffs. And I was like, aces. murdered all of them.
That's fantastic.
Before I got really back into Crazy Taxi, me and Anthony, a good friend of mine who goes to school in the Carolinas, the night before Florence hit, we played and beat Crackdown 1 entirely on Ruthless.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's awesome. That's insane, but that's awesome.
We were like, how should we do this? And we cheated a little. We brought over our maxed out characters from 360. But we were like, how should we do this? I was like, well, we should kill the top bosses first and then work our way around the other three gangs and then just ice through the final battles like that. And Anthony was like, for sure. So we started out with Wang, the head of the Shai Gen Corporation, and that was probably the biggest son of a bitch. That was probably the most time-consuming thing we did in the entire game. And it was a blast because it was just like, we didn't do it the right way. We were like, for the longest time, we were convinced we could jump up the entire building, and you can't.
I love when that shit happens, when you're like either doing it yourself or with a friend, and you're like so blinded to like the correct way of doing something.
I know.
Well, and that you're so fucking stubborn just to, like, you need to do it this way now, Anthony, because you put so much time into it.
Anthony was surprised with how well I remembered how to kill every boss. And I won't lie, I think out of every gang boss there was, Anthony killed three of them and I killed, like, the other 15. And he pissed him off so much because he was like, God damn it, God damn it.
That's hilarious.
And I would, like, steal kills from him sometimes.
No, that's the best. No, it's like, it's that feeling that he was feeling, or you were feeling, mm-hmm. is like when you're playing something like Dota.
Oh, yeah.
And you get the last hit and you get credit for the kill. And you're like, fuck everyone else. Yeah, now it's all me. That fuck one. You. Just the one, like, 10 damage hit, that was me.
It ended very apropos. We were looking at each other and we were like, nice job, man. Way to go. And we just both had the exact same idea to shoot the rocket launcher at each other and kill one another. And we both died right there. And I was like, that was probably the most beautiful way we could end this. We actually were going to play Conviction. But, because I had the game downloaded on my Xbox One, when I went to go get it redeemed as an Xbox Gold game, they didn't give it to me as an Xbox Gold game.
Wow, really?
I'm very pissed at Microsoft.
That's pretty crazy, yeah.
But it's $9.99 digitally, so whatever.
Yeah.
I'll get it. I want it.
I mean, you
want
to play that same time?
Yeah, of course.
So I can have fucking redemption at the end that you denied me?
Bitch, I'll kill you.
Fucking Christ. I didn't understand. No, hold on. Let me tell this story. Tom had played the Conviction co-op storyline before. I had not.
Listen, I'm a Conviction master.
Don't you dare interrupt me.
I am a master.
And we get to the very end. I don't realize it's a fight. And Tom's like, acts like he doesn't know what's going on. And he walks up behind me with a fucking shotgun, blows me away. Story ends.
I know exactly what I'm doing. Here's the thing. You're not the first friend I've murdered in that room.
My
You're not going to be the
God.
Last.
I want my chance at redemption, though. That's
all I
want.
We'll give it a try. Dude, the campaign, though, is tough. The campaign is harder than, especially because we'll play it on Hunter or Predator.
Absolutely,
I forget what the max difficulty in that game's called. But it's because there's this moment where it's just going to, the game just feeds you. It's just like, you're going to go down this hallway and enter this big room. And then it's just like, what's going on? You go, another hallway. And you're like, this is very not much like this game. And then you go in and you go, like, another big room. And you're like, fuck. And then it's like, another hallway. And you go, God damn it. And then it's a third big room. And it's very, and they're all the same in structure, which is super not what that level's about. And you would kind of consider that lazy game design. But the way the game does it, it like kind of forces you to act completely differently and to think on the fly every time, because they play in the rooms out. It's almost brilliant in the fact that they kind of put enemies in such a different location that like one strategy to clear out the same room is completely void when you have to do it and everybody's already in the staircase. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally know what you're saying.
That game's fucking great though. And really they all know you're coming. That's the thing about that level.
Totally,
if you have to play that one loud.
I remember it. Yeah, seriously.
But beyond that, that's really all I've been. That's really was my September, in video games. But here's what I will say: we have an October coming up.
Yeah.
But wait, we got a game to talk about. A big game that came out in September. A game you played. I haven't. Played.
Yeah, I need to let you borrow it because I'm not. I kind of slowed down it with the
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Which I'm not going to give anything away, obviously, for people that haven't
played
it.
Let the people know. Let the people know.
But like, I really, really, really enjoyed that game. Like, much more than I even thought I would have. I was going to buy it, like, almost exclusively just because I've heard, obviously, just, like, people in the industry that I, you know, respect their opinion. They were like, this game's really fun, you know? And, I, like, just in general, I'm just a fan of, like, the whole just kind of Marvel thing. just because it's a very, like, just a fun thing. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a fun thing to watch. It's a fun thing to take part of, kind of thing.
Like a well-developed superhero world?
Yeah.
No, yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, no, it's like...
That's kind of a big appeal of Arkham for a lot of people to get
totally,
into those games.
Like, even just being... Like, even with the shortcomings of everything, it's like, I just find it extremely enjoyable. Like, I can look past that most of the things that they do that people would find as shortcomings. But with Spider-Man, it... immediately, like, the swinging was just like... How they start that game is just fucking phenomenal. I don't want to ruin it because it's like, it's very short. It's not like spoilery or anything. It's just like, I want like people to experience it for themselves, and I don't want to give it away. It involves licensed music, and licensed music always helps in my opinion.
Okay. And, some people consider licensed music. I don't, but people consider it a cheap pop.
Oh, really?
Like, you know, it's for some people, it's
that.
Like relying on an
totally.
Already pre-established
I think it,
piece of art.
Totally, but like, given the amount of original scores that are composed for that game, especially like it, I think it like was well deserved. And like,
I think that's my deal with it too. Is like as long as, like even then like I can dig a movie that
yeah.
relies heavily
totally,
on
totally.
A licensed soundtrack.
Well, like you think about Quentin Tarantino movies, right?
Exactly.
You know?
I think about like Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, totally.
Like, it has a really good soundtrack, but like I think about how amazing it is. They're like. You almost yeah. like to drive.
Yeah, exactly. What I remember isn't the original score made for GTA. What I remember is being on a jet ski with one of my friends going into the sunset with Chicago's If You Leave Me Now.
Oh, yeah. And then, know? Like, the best part is, like, especially for the rock station, you got, like, they have great hosts on all of the stations.
Like,
but on that one, they had Kenny Loggins.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? Kenny Loggins?
And Kenny Loggins just comes in, especially when he talks about his own music. He goes, yeah, I was topping the charts, blasting bitches and doing coke. What's
I know,
up?
It's amazing. Like, he fucking, like, perfectly played that part.
He played such a 80s zeitgeist pop star.
Seriously, yeah.
Like, but he's always kind of done that in such a, I don't think self-aware way, because I've never really heard of Kenny Loggins being, like, the wildest of wild men in
no,
the
yeah, yeah.
But I haven't looked up like his personal history.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I wonder. Do you think Kenny Loggins?
I wouldn't
like
be surprised.
A coke maniac?
I mean,
it's the 80s.
Everybody was. I mean,
it's
I mean,
the 80s.
It's not really yeah, like, but like honestly,
today.
Like if you have a means in a way and the budget to play Spider-Man, like fucking do it, man. Like the story was amazing. Like I really like. Apart from Infinity War, it's like my favorite piece of like Marvel writing.
I think we've talked
very
recently,
briefly.
Infinity
yeah.
War. I watched. I went on a vacation in August with my family, and I rewatched it multiple times with my sister's boyfriend. And every time we watched it twice, but when we watched it, we were just like, God damn it! Like the small things this movie does is impeccable, and like it just makes me so excited for part two. But
me too.
I almost don't even want the closure.
I know, right?
Like, you almost want it just that to be the ending.
But it could be, you know, it could be why can't I remember it?
I don't know, you're kind of
so
being
I was
going to
say,
bitch.
You have Empire Strikes Back, and then you have...
it is like the Empire Strikes Back.
No, yeah, yeah.
But the
so,
morbid
like,
ending.
Without the ending. Yeah, I mean, like, but you don't want the closure.
I don't want the Ewoks.
No. Well, I mean, but Ewoks are right. Like, without the eyes that they put in.
The Ewoks are not all right.
Dude, come on. What do you got against Ewoks?
It's not...
Cool.
I like Muppets, man. I even like...
Those are fucking people in costumes. They aren't fucking Muppets. Give them goddamn respect they deserve.
They are still, like, furry little... Okay. Here's my beef with the Ewoks. I'm not trying to shit on them. First off, A, Big Bird's a Muppet. That guy's in a fucking suit.
Is there a guy in there? I don't think
yeah,
there's
a guy. No. Oh, guess I what think... I also did this summer. I went to the Museum of Moving Image,
right.
Went to a giant fucking exhibit on Jim Henson.
Okay.
Also, Polygon has exhibits there, too. I didn't
really?
Even know. Yeah,
that's
it was
cool.
Interesting. But Big Bird suit, what it is the guy's in the suit, ducks his head, and he puts his hand up like this, and that's
oh,
how
shit.
Big Bird fucking talks.
That's really cool.
It is hilarious.
Oh, man.
But what were we talking about? Spider-Man,
yeah. But, yeah, no, I'm just going to end as that. If you have a means, a budget, or a way to play Spider-Man, fucking do it, man.
Well, I have Steven's PS4, and I don't think he lives here. So if you want to bring it over, I'll install it. I know he'll be pleased as punch just to even see it around.
Oh, I absolutely will.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But here's my big game that actually is coming out soon that I'm going to be playing.
Yeah.
Comes out, I have the date right here. I just want to make sure I get it right. So that way the people can know. October 2nd, Tom will be going fucking hard in Forza Horizon 4
mm-hmm.
to really see if it's the racing game I can really get behind.
I have heard very, very good things
the
about this.
The demo, I saw, I've decided not to play. I don't like to really play, but I saw Giant Bomb's quick look on it.
Very happy about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Normally, like, Jeff and company usually aren't, haven't been that ecstatic on the past couple of Horizon games. They've been like, ah, it's pretty good. They're pretty excited about this one, given everything that they're doing with it.
What's cool was with, like we've seen the progression of those games ourselves.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
One was a really big game for us.
It
a
was,
lot of our
yeah.
friends bought it. We all played the living shit out of
it.
It
was
I remember,
a lot of
like,
fun.
Trying to move up the rankings, to have better cars.
Totally,
I do remember
yeah.
when I started getting, like, the A, and I believe they go, it's R1, then R2, R3.
Yep.
Once I got like an A and like an R1 and R2 car, I was like, I don't really give a fuck. I have the
yeah,
fast cars.
Exactly.
Right. Like I just want to go X amount of fast and like make sure all my friends and I are on the same level playing field and we'll just go nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
I just remember listening to Cinema by, what's his name? Benny. It's his last name is Bassati, I believe.
Okay.
Oh wait, maybe not. You know,
I don't know. It's not important. Just keep going with the story.
I like that song.
I know. I'm not saying the song's
but,
bad.
What I'm saying is, like, I remember, like, driving around Colorado and shit during that game and, like, just seeing the scenery
yeah.
and thinking to myself, like, wow, this is probably the best open world racer.
Totally.
Sorry,
yeah.
Midnight Club fans.
Midnight Club was all right.
They,
like,
it
Burnout,
was
Burnout,
it was just
Burnout Paradise was always
way
better.
Way better. That was always my thing, was I really enjoyed Burnout Paradise, but my biggest beef with Burnout Paradise was always the limited amount of cars mixed in with the fact that it wasn't this huge open hub world in a sense
yeah.
where it was this constantly online place where it was super easy to get things going, to make a crew with your friends,
yeah,
to
totally.
Be in this kind of giant racing event. Burnout Paris just felt like you were just in the city to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Which
was
credit,
awesome, yeah.
Which was great. That was also a good soundtrack. I remember remember that
oh,
one
Oh, yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
But and then I played Horizon 2 somewhat. And I enjoyed the off-road aspects of it. And that even had a soundtrack I enjoyed more. That had The Clash on it and Cage the Elephant and shit.
Oh, yeah. I remember
but
that being really good. I remember doing it a lot, too.
It didn't hold my attention as much. I think the social aspect was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And then 3 I skipped. But I think I'm happy I skipped 3 because I feel like
I actually played 3.
What's your thoughts?
I know. I mean, I thought it was another Horizon game. Like, they didn't really do much different, you know what I mean? It was just in a different setting. But, I mean, I still had fun with it.
For
you know?
The whole idea of the seasons, I think, is absolutely genius. But I really think what I'm enjoying of the look of it is it seems like they're really trying to make an even a very big open world. And I enjoy
yeah,
I love the
no,
setting
seriously.
Of
yeah,
the
no,
of,
it's England, right?
I believe
Great Britain,
it,
right?
I think I can't remember if it was supposed to be like
I'm
all
sure
of the UK or just specifically London.
Yeah. That's a good I don't know. Well, wouldn't it just be London, but it's definitely because they have countryside and things in there too. So
no,
it's
I'm sorry, I meant England.
Okay, yeah.
But London is in it, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
But that's really what, I'm not saying like every open world game should aspire for that, but an open world racing game should really maybe aspire to create more open, but think about the crew. The crew aspired to recreate America to the best of its attempt.
Yeah. Didn't work.
No, it didn't work, but that, yeah. I'm not saying like don't get that big, but like
oh,
why
totally.
Not?
Oh, totally, yeah, yeah.
Why not try to recreate somewhat of a nation?
They're going
to
scale it down somewhat. They're not going to make it one-on-one.
You
know
can't
what I mean?
Do
it's like, but like the same thing with Spider-Man. It's like not a one-to-one scale of Manhattan because that would be impossible to navigate, you know, like with how big it would be. It's not impossible to navigate
Manhattan,
in the way.
Manhattan is a grid system.
Yeah, no, I'm saying not impossible to navigate, like, but impossible given how
but I mean,
actually
like,
big
what if
it
they
would
were
be.
Like, what if they're like, what's put in Queens? What's put in
oh,
Brooklyn?
That'd be cool. Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be great. No, but I'm saying like that is when it'd be like, maybe we're getting a big too big
yeah.
for our bridges here, guys.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Like, I enjoyed, you know what I enjoyed who did something like this, the bit of the scale up, even though that game isn't like the beloved one in the franchise, is Arkham Knight.
Arkham Knight
felt like they tried to put 3 Arkham cities, and I thought they did a good job. I thought they made a really, they never fucked this part up. I don't think anybody can deny that. They make a detailed fucking world.
Yeah,
Rocksteady.
I agree.
And I think Arkham Knight was their magnum opus to a super detailed open world and how they made each district distinct and gave it its own fucking vibe to it as well.
No, yeah. I remember past all of the launch problems, I enjoyed that game pretty well.
Oh, you played it on PC?
Yeah.
You dumb boy.
But believe it or not, I really didn't have that many problems.
That's good. I heard a lot of bugs, though.
Surprisingly, I didn't have like any problems.
It ran smooth on the Xbox.
Yeah, no, I remember
really
that.
Smooth.
Yeah.
That's why I was so surprised to hear that. I was like, God damn.
They just, well, the problem was like,
they bought
it was
PC
within,
port.
Well, yeah, it was within the transition phase that was still happening where they were like, well, we made the console version. Let's just throw it on PC and see what happens. That happened a lot.
That did happen a lot.
But that's not happening now, and like something that I'm happy.
I think it's just because I think they're starting to realize there's a higher concentration of PC gamers, why doing that really is not for your best business move at all.
And, yeah, totally.
Even beyond that, I think just obviously the PS4 sold like a motherfucker.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah.
But even beyond that, I think it's just for you. You want people. You want as many people to play your game, but you want the secondary thing to that is you want as many of those people to have the best possible experience they can with that game.
Absolutely. Well, like think about it. Like, obviously, business people aren't really thinking of that aspect, but you think of the people who are creating that game. You know, it's like, well,
exactly.
If I can have someone experience this at like an unbelievable fidelity, that'd be awesome. You know,
that's right. I remember we were watching. Even though that game was pooped on, like I remember seeing Mass Effect Andromeda play on your PC with really high specs.
Oh yeah, no, like
and almost being convinced to go get it.
Yeah, no, like the thing was, well, I almost was too, but like I knew the game was shit, but I was going to buy it.
Yeah,
but
it was
I had EA access at that time to try Battlefield out. So I was like, well, I have a 10-hour trial for Andromeda a week before it comes out. I might as well try it. So I had you guys over, and the game ran extremely well on my PC. Like I had it at a full 4K resolution with HDR on, full, you know, textures, everything up, everything was on ultra, and then slapped that on my 4K TV with at 4K in with HDR, and it was like mind-blowing seeing.
It was amazing.
No, like the clarity and just everything.
The effects. That was
like
amazing.
It was running at above 60 frames too, so like just seeing all of that at once, I was like, like, I would, like, almost, like, I could get up to, like, $2 now. I would just use that as a demo. It's like, look at this. Like, holy shit. Like, this is what it can
play
be.
This opening level and play nothing else.
Exactly.
And even that opening level was weak.
Oh, yeah, everything about the game's weak. But, like, yeah, that's the only positive thing I could say about Andromeda, is that it looked nice on my TV at 4K.
I feel like that was made with the Frostbite, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's one thing I think the Frostbite... I was
very well optimized.
Ray Chevik, a YouTuber I enjoy, he was saying this the other day, and I agree with him because he was talking specifically on Battlefront 2. No matter the quality of the game, if somebody really goes hard on nailing atmosphere, presentation, the Frostbite engine does an incredible job.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Especially with the sound effects.
I was just about to say that because...
sound design is amazing.
Yeah, something that no matter the, you know, it's if it's movies, a TV show, or games especially, something that will immediately stick out to me and that I pay, like, I like to pay, like, extreme close attention to just because it's, like, it's an interest of mine. Is the sound design and just being able to notice like little details of like the difference in like how far someone's shooting you, like how far away they are, you know, or like footsteps
on the different
types of surfaces and like how I'm hearing someone reload their gun next to me, like, and I can tell what gun it is based upon how the reload is sounding.
I don't think I've ever seen Well, maybe Mass Effect used it, but I don't know if I've played a Frostbite game that relied on hitboxes.
No, I can't say definitively, but I know the Battlefield series does rely on a ballistics model. Unlike Call of Duty. But, like, to sidebar off of that...
Are we talking about Blops 4?
Well, I was going to say that, like, you know me, I've been a Battlefield guy my entire life.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. Well, welcome back.
I'm like...
We missed you. It's been a while, 2010. I keep like, the seat hot for you, kid. Yeah, I don't even play much Call of Duty, it's my franchise over it.
But the thing is, I'm like really like not that interested in playing Battlefield this year. I'm actually more interested in playing Call of Duty this year.
I think a big aspect, even though Battlefront is... Didn't they announce they're having the Battle Royale mode?
Battlefield, you mean?
Yeah, no, I said that Battlefield, yeah.
You said Battlefront. Hey, I'm just checking facts.
Same shit, different skin. Not really, but honestly, Battlefield seems like the way better game, honestly, compared to Battlefront.
Speaking of Battlefront 2, like, I wanted that game to be good. Like, that Starfight battles were actually the best part of that game because it was developed by Criterion.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was awesome. I was having a lot of fun with it, and then all that controversy happened. I was like, well, I'm not giving you my money.
Some developer takes on that, and that whole multi-developer deal around it just seemed detrimental.
Really? How so?
In the sense that you had one studio making a campaign,
yeah,
one studio making the aerial combat, and one studio making like the actual kind of base game.
Yeah.
All of this had to be implemented in a way where also had to be worked around with the fact that the new game was coming out. The new movie was coming out, and they couldn't spoil anything about the new movie.
Got it.
So the narrative focus was completely compromised, because instead of making this group, their whole deal was they were going to make a group in the Empire that you would follow till they made it to the First Order. But then they realized there was no way they could do that because they couldn't spoil anything.
Yeah.
So as a result, they had to switch them to I'm spoiling plot.
Who cares?
Does anybody give a fuck?
No.
This is a spoiler notice.
It wasn't
the guy even who wrote it kind of admitted that. It was ruined by this. They had to switch over to the rebels at the time.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the whole plot. And then, like, his whole thing was like, that made absolutely no fucking sense whatsoever. Yeah. And that entirely ruined the plot. And the plot, and even the game itself, like, because they didn't have a lot of time, they had to use the multiplayer maps. They couldn't even take the same setting.
I know,
they had to just put shit in the multiplayer.
But also, like, you can attribute that to maybe EA really pushing it through the pipeline kind of thing. You know what I mean?
No, I think we talked about this when the game was coming out. And I think I was like, you know me, I maybe I'm a bit too hard. I am too hard on EA. Fuck them.
No. You're
fuck them on this regard.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, being hard on, like, corporate business EA, fine. Like, that's there's nothing wrong with that.
This
but if you
want to
talk, like, if people are going to talk shit about the developers and shit, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
You know what I mean?
I don't even want to shit hard on DICE, because I think out of all the studios involved, DICE, that game, I think they had all the commitment in the world to making that game the best they could, in a sense, with all the time they had. And that's why I think they were like, well, we'll make the DLC packs free, so that way if we have a strong base game. But everyone I talked to said the same thing they said about the first one, which is like, after like 15 hours in the game, you feel like you've played every possible moment in that game.
Totally.
And as far as multiplayer games go, that is the complete.
That's not a lot. No, yeah, totally.
Multiplayer games, even if you're doing the same thing over and over again, it should always feel like this. That rush should always be
there. Well, that's why, like, Call of Duty is like the perfect example. Well, by people prestige 10 times. You know what I mean?
Got it.
Yeah, it's like, that's why that happens, but
it's why people buy that game and they don't play anything else.
Exactly, like, totally. It's why it's their one game a year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they release a base product that's ready to rock and fucking roll. It is just
for the most part. Like, I thought World War II was a bad game.
I think World War II is a good example of that, though, of kind of the rush out of it. But I think that whole triple developer cycle thing, with each developer actually kind of having to wait until the next. The game before it comes out to really kind of see where their direction went, if they can abandon things. Like, it never really comes off to me. Like, I look at the next game, and it seems like this still seems like a yearly Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Rarely does it ever stand out in a way where I'm just like, oh, they tried a little differently.
Well,
here.
that's what I'm why I'm actually interested in this one.
From
what I've been playing, like, it actually feels, you know, different. Like, the way they're handling time to kill, the weapons, the way health work, like, just the general gameplay has changed in a significant way to where I, like, noticed. Like, I had to play.
But nobody be scared. The base mechanics there. If you're good at COD, you'll still be good at COD.
I had to feel. I felt like I had to play slightly differently or adapt to the new system, and I liked that. And also, like, I enjoyed the blackout mode. You know, I played the beta for that. I thought it was a little bland, and, like, I would take PUBG any day over it, but that's because I'm PUBG ride or die. Like, it was fun, and I find myself, at least right now, because, like, I mean, you know, I'm working every day of the week, and I'm going to school at the same time. Obviously, I don't have a lot of energy to do a lot of gaming.
Exactly.
So Call of Duty is more appealing in that way, where I can hop on. I don't need to have a squad with me.
I was going
to
say the same thing about Forza. Forza is appealing to me, because I remember that about Horizon was, if I had, like, an hour, hop on, do a couple races.
Totally. And it's more the online concept with me, because when I get on online
games...
Oh,
no, same. Yeah. No, I could just dick around and challenge
totally,
someone,
exactly,
too.
Totally, exactly, yeah. And that's why, like, obviously I still want to get Red Dead, not only because it's Red Dead, but, like, because I can still hop in and out of it kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, the same thing with Spider-Man, because a lot of time be like, oh, I have to pause and I have to turn off here and I have to get off or something like that to do something or I have to go or whatever. It's just easy to stop it because it's a single-player game. With multiplayer games, it's different. You need to have a certain chunk of time. So it really depends, but, like, obviously it sounds a little hypocritical because of how I was talking about Overwatch, but I typically only play one or two matches, like, a day, like, maximum, like very, very maximum. Like, I don't play...
You know, I've watched people play multiple matches in a row.
Yeah.
And by the time I'm done, I'm like, I could, I don't have a desire to
play I have done that. I've done like 10 or 15 matches in a row before.
I mean, like, I've seen someone play 10 matches in a row, and when it's done, it's not like even like, some games you see get played a lot, and it's almost like an ad for the game. You're like, totally. I want to play that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally.
That does not happen with me in Overwatch. I'm engaged totally in like the competition aspect, but it never makes me want to go, put that in my
hands. It appeals to the side of me, one of the sides of gaming for me that is like, I think the most core of me is I like to play competitively. Well, on not on a high tier level.
I'm not trying to crap on the competitive. I'm down for the competitive nature.
No, totally. I get what you're saying, but like it's probably the same reason why you don't feel like you would go out of your way to play CS:GO or maybe.
No, you're right. The arena shooter, like kind of thing. There are some that.
Well, I wouldn't consider an arena shooter that's like a team shooter.
No, you're right.
Because arena shooters like arena, Quake or something.
Quake is a good example of an arena shooter I would play.
Yeah.
But a lot of that has to do with the fact that Quake has a very bouncy kind of gameplay to it that is very high-paced, high action. It kind of supports more solo play in a sense, which I always thought kind of Halo did back in the day, was why I liked playing Halo. Yeah. And Trent Reznor's score.
What's that again?
Trent Reznor, he's the lead singer of Nine Inch Nails. He did the music for Quake.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, I was like, what's that game? I was like, what the fuck are you talking
Trent
about?
Trent Reznor's score? Yeah,
I thought that was you were. Yeah, I thought you meant that as a game. Like you mentioned two games and then that. I was like, what?
Trent Reznor's score for Quake,
Totally, yeah, I get that. But like, it's the same reason why I always play, like, I will swap between Rainbow Six Siege, Overwatch, Counter-Strike, you know, a couple other,
You were talking about the start of the show.
What?
Vietnam.
Vietnam. I play that a lot too because it's like that's also easier to hop in and out of because I'm not like when you play competitive in games, you're locked into that time period. Like you have to play this competitive match. You can't leave or you're penalized. And I've met a lot, like especially in Overwatch, I've met a lot of really cool people that I continue to play with now and like I team up with all the time, which is awesome because I think they implemented like a really cool like community run rating system for yourself. It's like it's tiered. Like there's three different things you can be rated as people on your team, as people you've immediately played as. You can't hear it. Don't worry. We can't hear the AC.
Oh no, I was actually listen, ladies and gents. I'm just gonna do it. I'm gonna raise the blinds. I hope they caught that. I hope you heard.
No,
that.
I definitely heard that. But what was I saying?
You were talking about competitive shooters. You were listing them off left and right, the amount you fucking played, and it was going to be quite the laundry list.
I forgot where I was going. I was going to
Here's what I'm
going
to say. You know what else we should also focus out? Other games coming out in October. You know what I'm saying, dog?
Absolutely.
Another game coming out in October. Now that I'm working again, I'm getting Red Dead.
Well, okay, good. You told me that last month. You're like, I'm just getting this one game for the entire year. And I'm like, dude, you're not going to play Red Dead on like when it comes out?
I have a Red Dead plan. It might be getting it on release. It might not be. It might be waiting like 3 weeks. But here's another game I might get, depending on pricing. Mega Man 11.
I saw gameplay for that.
Thing I hate is that it's 3D imaged.
Yeah.
I wish they would do like a 2D that's what I didn't animation like about style. It, yeah. The actual gameplay looks very much on point.
Okay.
Looks like a very good Mega Man game. Yeah. As someone who's played...
I know you have. Yeah. Yeah. You just know it's not... I don't have a lot of ground to stand on.
My favorite Mega Man game is... I've played 1 through 6, X1, and X2.
Yeah.
But my favorite Mega Man game... And those are the 8 I've played besides Mega Man ZX Advent.
Okay.
Which is... just looking at the time.
We're fine.
We don't have to give a shit.
Exactly.
What was I going to say? Mega Man ZX Advent is actually probably my favorite DS game ever.
Really?
It's incredible. Wow. I wish they would remake it for the console just so I could play it again.
That'd be really cool. I mean, you could
show
probably just
people how fucking great it was.
You could probably just emulate it off of a PC.
I'm thinking I'm just going
to
emulate
it. And also, like, if you... Like, a really cool way to, like, because I know how you like playing retro games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a spare $60, spare $65, I can help you build, like, a RetroPie kit, which will basically, you'll have every retro game in the library of everything up until, like, Nintendo 64.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
$60. Yeah. Next game. Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
We own every single game up until the N64. We're not ROMing them. Don't worry.
We are not ROMing them.
Yeah, we own every single.
We own all of them.
We own every single
image
of those.
We own all of them. I have a mean library.
Yeah.
I know a guy who has a basement full of them. That isn't even a lie.
Well, actually, you're not wrong. Yeah.
I know I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what was that, feds? We got you. Suck it. Look him up. Name's Mike. So Assassin's Creed Odyssey comes out. I figured I'd ask you, as someone who played Origins, your thoughts on this title. I've seen a lot of ads for it.
I've seen a lot of ads.
They're going hard in the
They are,
on
but
YouTube.
Like I've been hearing, like, Greg Miller's like in love with it.
We'll find out.
Well, yeah, no, I'm probably not going to play it.
I do
it, but
love,
like,
the dual character options. My greatest fear is that they're just the same character done twice.
I mean, I would assume in the general sense they probably are very
similar.
But
I enjoy the variation.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Like, I enjoy them being different traits, different things about them that actually would incentivize me to play it both.
Yeah,
I
can see that happening for sure.
I just don't want it to be like, whoa, like, pick a sex, you're going to get the same thing deal no matter what.
And I'm sure a lot of people fall into the same trap that I did, like assuming that it's being made by the same studio. But like Ubisoft has like fucking like
Ubisoft
50
Montreal
studios, dude.
Ubisoft Montreal has 1,000 people working in it.
Yeah, so like someone, a completely different studio made Origins, and now in a completely different studio has been making
Odyssey
for like a few years now. So like
that's what they tell us about Call of Duty. You can't trust that.
I mean, I can trust that. Well, I mean, because they're showing like who's developing it. Like
no.
Put credit
no.
in the wrong place.
What I'm
you know what I mean?
Is this. Is
but I'm not saying that guarantees quality.
Key.
I'm not saying that guarantees quality.
That's what
quality.
I'm getting
okay,
at.
Yeah.
Is like that usually actually I find is usually the heart of that's in a very right place, but it's still a very constrictive, restrictive model on developing. Because you tend to have to pay to the game that came out before, and if it's a year before, you might have to change a lot.
Yeah.
But if Greg Miller likes it, that goes a long way with me as well.
Yeah, no, that's the thing that I noticed, because he's one of the last people I expect, because he's never really been a fan of Assassin's Creed apart from like the Ezio series.
I've never remembered him.
Yeah, he really liked the Ezio series, but apart from that, he didn't really like him at all. Like, he didn't even play Odyssey. I mean, didn't play Origins.
Listen, take it from me, as someone who I'd say is probably less of an Assassin's Creed fan.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, seriously.
It's a title I've played 2 games extensively for. No, that's a lie. 3. But one of them I disliked playing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Assassin's Creed 1. But Revelations...
Oh, I thought you were going to say 3.
No. Oh, my God. I forgot I played 3.
Yeah.
Oh, scratch that. I played 4, and it was a 50-50 bag. But Black Flag and Revelations actually went a long way with me.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Revelations, but I think that's because I didn't... What 2 didn't engage me long enough in terms of its overall appeal, and I skipped Brotherhood, which I think went a long way with me enjoying Revelations more.
Maybe, yeah. I think so.
But I thought Revelations actually had a strong plot.
It did. No, I actually liked
I think
the story.
A lot of,
yeah,
that was
cool.
One thing I saw that a lot of people said compared to the other 3 games, it really had this very good character-driven narrative. It really wasn't...
It wasn't like, anything crazy, but it was good. It was a lot better than the
really
other couple.
It was focused on Ezio.
Yeah, that which is
like,
what it should have been from
Ezio
the start. Yeah,
dealing with the fact that he kind of gave his life to a cause and kind of has nothing to show for it.
Yeah, totally.
Except for a cool black hood.
Yeah, it is a cool black hood, though.
It's a really cool black hood. And then you get to play some Altair parts, and that was cool to see his story end, because I was familiar with it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I totally
so
agree.
We got more.
Okay.
I'm trying to just go through the big ones. So I guess there's a Luigi's Mansion remake coming out for the 3DS.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. I'm a big fan of that game. I remember
put
Dom
it on Switch.
And Anthony us. Oh my God.
Put it on Switch.
Me, Anthony. Make a new one for Switch.
Well, they are.
Sacrebla?
Yeah. Did you see that in the Nintendo Treehouse thing?
Oh, no, I missed the Treehouse, man. Bad gaming fan.
No,
these
you're
days.
Fine, dude. There's nothing wrong. Nobody's
you know why, though? You
shit.
Know why? Because I've been such a great MMA fan.
Yeah.
I'm really behind this Conor Khabib hype right now. I'm a Khabib guy.
So when's that fight happen? That's
October
6th. Okay, so where are we going for that?
So Max is having that thing at his lake house.
Oh, yeah.
We shouldn't talk about these plans so openly.
There's a thing happening at our friend Max's lake house.
So I'm going to that
it.
Thing on Friday, and then on Saturday, I'm sleeping in for most of the day, and then going back here, watching the fight, either going to a bar with Brian or buying it here.
Oh, shit.
But that's how I'm watching it. But, you know, I'm just – that fight I can't miss.
No, I totally understand that. It's like that kind of stuff happens with me sometimes too, where it's like, oh, shit, these two things are happening at once.
Yeah.
It often happens is like, well, this other thing I've been planning for like months.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It happens. You know?
So Call of Duty Black Ops 4 comes out October 12th, which I feel like a somewhat early release for COD. I remember COD games being those early November marks or November 10th kind of area.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a little early. Well maybe not. I'm not sure. But I'm not buying on day one, but we'll see what happens.
So I don't know if it's really much news, but Soul Calibur 6 comes out October 19th.
They got Geralt in it.
They do have Geralt in it. Here's one thing about it, and I read a essay on it, and I forget who wrote it. I think it was someone at Kotaku. When are we gonna stop having every woman in a fighting game be a big titted lady?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you can see it like following a trend of like what happens a lot with Japanese games. Like you think about someone like Hideo Kojima, like we were talking about the other day. It's like we hold him in very high esteems, apart from the extremely we hold him in very high esteems, apart from the like overly sexualized and misogynistic things that he does to a lot of the women in his games and the way he portrays them. And it really sucks, and it's like something we shouldn't tolerate. But it's like. And it's something I very much scoff at when I'm playing the game. I'm like what the fuck? Like, what's going on here? It's like, why are you? It's like I'm uncomfortable with what's going on.
It's tasteless to me.
It absolutely is tasteless. Like it's I hate it, man. Like it sucks that like
it didn't dawn on me either. But until I remember playing Metal Gear 1, replaying it in high school.
Yeah.
And not replaying it. No, it was just the first time I played. Okay, it. Oh my god! Yeah. I remember I bought it on the PS1, but because I had never played it before,
totally.
And I really wanted to. I bought the original, and that scene where he goes into the bathroom, and Meryl is just
I know, yeah.
And it's just so tasteless. Like it's just like, oh, this I like, just so happened to it, have it's my
like,
pants off.
Yeah, it's just like being extremely perverted for no reason, pretty much, and it sucks. Like, it's like
but
and,
you know, and I hate to say it, but like as someone who loves anime, as someone who loves a lot of things in Japanese culture. It's reflective of a certain sense of the culture.
Oh, absolutely. No, totally. It's like, I don't know.
I'm not trying to condemn. No. I don't want that to be like a negative. Like, there's a lot of things I condemn about totally. American culture. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, this is just like, I don't know. It's very hard to like even criticize saying like, it's hard to criticize like any of this based upon the fact that we're saying quote unquote culture, like thinking back on it, that might even be the wrong term to be using, but it's more of the aspect of the artistic style that they're choosing to depict women in.
But a lot of that is reflective in things even beyond video games,
like in their media and things like that.
Like hentai is from there.
Oh yeah.
Like you have to remember, like I'm not trying to like it's not reflective of all of Japanese culture. The same way, like
people who
wave Confederate flags in America. That's not reflective of everybody in America.
Saying, yeah, I
but
just
that's
wanted
still
to,
reflective
yeah.
of the culture. That still persists and is tolerated by.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I just like to. I don't like to say it's tolerated. Well, it's only
not tolerated.
It's tolerated based upon the fact that we have the First Amendment.
But
that's about it.
But the fact that there are people who tolerate
totally,
it who
yeah.
still openly do
oh,
it
absolutely, yeah.
is a,
I see
is reflective. You have
yeah.
to. You can't act.
Oh,
like,
totally. Yeah, I just wanted to like not make it sound like we were generalizing anything in any way.
Culture isn't an umbrella term, but it is a term that applies to a lot of things.
Yeah.
And that's what people...
I just like to be very careful with that stuff, just to
I
make sure people
that.
Listening...
I'm not trying...
Oh, no, and I don't think you were at all. I don't like... I don't, and I do not think you were at all.
I get why you're being careful, but I think you... To be overly cautious is almost giving it too much weight.
Oh, sure,
I mean, giving
sure.
it too much power, in almost in a sense. Like, you shouldn't. You should be able to openly say, I condemn what that is.
Oh, sure, but I'm not talking about condemning... the specific action of how they depict women in games.
No.
I'm just saying I didn't want to sidestep around the generalization of like using culture as a generalizing term.
But
you know
that's
what I mean?
The thing is, I think that's the problem is it is now used as a generalizing term.
Oh, that's what
when
I was saying.
Reality,
is like,
it's
that's
supposed
why,
to me.
That's what I was saying is that I didn't want us to sound like we were using it like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But like there can be, like that's the thing is like people forget it's cultures are made up of a bunch of subcultures.
Oh yeah, totally.
And it's reflective.
Okay,
obviously,
that's a very good point.
It's
yeah.
with it's a certain subculture that permeates within this culture that is reflective of the overall culture because it is persisting.
Totally.
Within
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I get what you're saying now.
So yeah, no, yeah.
The subculture of how they how it's women are depicted in a lot of Japanese
but,
entertainment.
You know, I won't lie. Yeah. There's plenty of American entertainment.
Oh
women
yeah,
are depicted
totally.
Super poorly.
Yeah, it sucks.
So once again, this shows up. Oh shit! But I just mean like in Japan, Or, I'm sorry.
It's hard to deconstruct when you get very specific about it.
Exactly. Yeah. But the specific thing of, like I love Watanabe, who's the creator of Cowboy Bebop, of Samurai Champloo.
Yeah.
But he falls under the same trap. He, I mean, any female protagonist of his, he almost always gives...
Totally, yeah.
Just far too obnoxiously big boobs.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not...
I think it, because I think it fell into a lot of the gaming culture that existed in America, too, in, like, the 90s and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the 80s and 90s. Like,
but,
I'm thinking about the one... Was it a Crash Bandicoot, or was it... I forget what it was. But it was just, like, literally, like, a bifold naked, like, woman, like, on that bifold, but, like, screenshots of the game covering her, like, you know... their nipples or her vagina or like...
Was that Conker's Bad Fur Day?
No, I like distinctly remembering not being like a game that like would even closely warrant something like that.
Oh, it might have been Crash. Or yeah. It might have... I can't remember.
Or like Crash was... There was another one where it was like a guy in a Crash outfit in a bed with two women. It's like really fucking... I'll show you it after the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But like it's fucking wild shit.
This is wild. Yeah. Well, let's get moving because... We gotta. We're just trying to just give you guys an idea of what we're doing in this episode. We're just trying to break down the rest of the fall period. So after that, here it comes. Red Dead Redemption 2, October 26th. Here's what you gotta do, Noah. You not only have to convince me that either... There's two ways this goes. It's either I buy Red Dead Redemption 2 day of, and I end up probably buying Fallout 76, or I don't buy Red Dead 2 the day of. I wait for Fallout 76 to come out. I see the reception, and if it's bad, I then get Red Dead 2. That second plan sounds smart. Okay. See, that's why I got you tongue twisted. You're gonna convince me here.
I am gonna convince you because I think Red Dead 2-1 is the safer option.
Because it is. It is by a mile.
Second of all, we don't fucking know what 76 is, and as far as I know, I think it's just gonna be a fucking glorified Rust.
My whole deal with it is if I can play alone, and because I can,
yeah,
I can play solo, and it's a 4 times bigger map.
Yeah, but if there's nothing in that map to do.
Apparently there's quests, there's plenty of quest lines.
But how can you do that if there's no NPCs in the game?
So I think a lot of people have alluded to this, the idea that there's probably going to be some type of Vault-Tec overseer capacity ambient being, whether it be a PC. That's the thing. There's not no NPCs. There's no human NPCs.
Oh, well, yeah, but like, how do you get storytellers? How do you get quests?
In a game like that, you can get them from robots. You can get them from fucking ghouls. You can get them from fucking super mutants.
Like humanoid, like kind of thing. But
the idea is you're supposed to be settling.
But
that
the thing is, we still don't know anything.
No, but if it comes out and it's, I totally agree. Personally,
I think it's gonna be on fucking fire when it launches.
Oh, I think so too. I think the servers are gonna be
like you're not gonna want to play that till like. A couple weeks after it launches.
Well, if you can play alone and you don't have to...
but you still need to... I guarantee the game it is, you're not going to be able to play it offline. You have to be within some kind of server setting for
that. That makes sense, but we'll see. We'll see.
But like with Red Dead, like...
Most servers crash because of player capacity.
No, not at all.
You don't think so?
No, absolutely not.
I thought it was optimization based off bandwidth and use as well.
No, that is a cause that can happen, but it's not certainly the reason that happens all the time. Yeah, but like at least with Red Dead, like you just think about. Oh, first of all, like think about the cultural impact of that game. Right, it's a Rockstar game releasing, and
obviously,
at least for me, that's a huge thing reason for me wanting to be a part of it.
Okay, I don't give a fuck. I don't need to talk to people about it. I talk to you. That's good enough.
Oh, sure, that's fine. But think about. Man, dude, it's like it's going to be such a big game, and just all of the buzz that they're talking about it right now, with how like absolutely like mind-boggling detailed it is.
I'm not okay. These are all things I'm damn well aware of, man. Yeah. I had to go through this with Grand Theft Auto 5 too. Like, I remember
you have the fucking X, man. It's coming out on consoles only. Like, to me at least, it's unfathomable
that I wouldn't get it.
You wouldn't get it because you have the X.
I have the X.
And because of how unbelievable that game probably will look on there.
I remember you said that to TJ, and you were like, I want to see it play. All right. I'll get it.
Like, are you kidding?
It's like I'm slapping the face of every other gamer.
Seriously, like, well, you might as well just fucking shit on your fucking $500 you just spent.
I know. You won me over.
Yo, we'll look at fucking Fallout 76 in the same engine it's been on for the past 10 years. Oh, this is going to look great, guys. I could build fucking... I could build like 10 more structures with the power of the X.
You know how much...
You fuck
how,
you guys.
Dude, you know how much of my life I've wasted building...
Yes, I know! More. That's why I'm telling you to fucking do something different, because that's all 76 is. Stop building and fucking play something different.
But in that game, build outside even more robustly. Okay, I'm gonna get... I think you've convinced me to get two.
Dude, you need to get Red Dead. There's just like... I don't... Like, it's like... The fact that like... Someone would put 76 at or above.
It's fucking, dude, imagine if like a fucking, if some offshoot Witcher thing came out that was still somewhat true to the core of the Witcher.
Like, but like, that's on a whole different level. That's a Witcher though. Like, it wouldn't, they don't do online for Witcher.
What I'm saying is, what if they fucking tried? Like, I didn't think they would do online for Fallout.
That would be very extremely skeptical.
But trust me, you would want to give it the try.
Given, well, I think the track record of CD Projekt Red is a lot better, though.
Than Bethesda?
Yeah. Given they don't have...
For Bethesda, is like Oblivion, Fallout 3.
Yeah. I'm not saying the games Skyrim, are bad. I'm talking about like...
And Fallout 4.
I'm talking about optimization. I'm talking about the kind of storytelling I like. I'm
like,
talking about a lot of
different
things.
I get what
things.
You're saying there, too, but even I think that like there are stories in Witcher that aren't as strong as stories I've seen told in Fallout. And even beyond that, I think one thing with Witcher is there is a repetitive grind that constantly persists in that game.
So far as what? Like, if you're talking about Fallout, there's a lot.
No, there
too.
Is a repetitive, there is a grind there. I'm not saying Fallout doesn't do the same thing. I'm saying Witcher does.
But what grind are you talking
about? The
Witcher
being that it falls into this combat loop of you go through this thing, you show up with the weapon, and obviously there's enemy varieties, which are great. But a lot of times, a lot of quests are just fight these X amount of guys right here, and that's fine. I've played
enough Batman.
You tell
me Fallout isn't that, man?
I'm not saying it isn't. What I'm saying, though, is Witcher falls for similar tropes and issues that also Bethesda has.
Sure,
and some
but
people
I think,
overlook it.
But also a lot of it comes with at least The Witcher when you're doing things like... that involve combat exclusively, like you're saying. If you're doing it right, it involves a lot of preparation.
It
involves doing...
You're right.
Research
does,
on the monsters, putting certain oils on your weapons or creating certain traps infused with certain
things.
You have
to understand as well, Fallout, when you play it on a high enough difficulty, not fucking mosey around pussyfoot difficulty, like play New Vegas on hardcore or ramp up Fallout 4 to its highest difficulty, you're going to have to fucking think a fucking ahead hard.
Oh, absolutely.
And until you hit that god level mode in Fallout, which I will admit Witcher doesn't really let you get to, which I do think is good, but for some people that is kind of the turn on to Fallout is turning into that person. But that's what I love about something like New Vegas Survival Mode, because in that game, it's like, nah, homie, you're always going to be getting your ass kicked, and you're going to be a fucking brittle bitch, and you got to really think ahead hard sometimes. I think it exists in both
games.
But
I think you do that far more with The Witcher, because, like...
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I played The Witcher, never used oil.
Well, what difficulty are you playing on? Because you can get by it with that on the normal difficulty. You can get that
on
the hardest one. Yeah, you can't get by with that on the hard one.
No, but it's the same deal. That's what I'm saying. There are certain things you can get by with.
Sure, but I feel like the Fallout combat is limited in a way that The Witcher isn't, is what I'm saying.
No, I think Fallout 4 combat is, but I think Fallout 3, in terms of how difficult that game was in terms of resource management, because that game did not give you a lot to play with. And even in New Vegas, when they did give you a lot to play with, they did find a way to spike up the difficulty in such a way where you yourself became weaker.
Oh, sure. No, I understand that. But
in
I'm
a
saying,
way
like,
that wasn't just purely based off health bar and damage.
Yeah,
ratios.
I'm saying as far as the combat works, I think it's much more limited in the Fallout series than is compared to The Witcher because of how
there's
much
a variety
going on.
In the things I can do. In Fallout, I can either fucking punch someone and kill them if I choose to dedicate my time there. I can use melee weapons, which actually creates a difference between using purely fist. There is a difference there based on movement speed and stuff like that, which is way different than I'm with Geralt, who just has the two swords. Or I can play with fucking guns or explosives.
Well, you're blowing it way down because like all what it boils down to is either you're hitting something or you're shooting something, right? In Fallout?
Yes.
Witcher, like you said, you have the different amount of weapons you can use, right?
You have
but it's
two
the same,
swords.
I'm saying it's the same kind of combat that you do out through the entire game. And like the combat definitely wasn't the strong point of like Fallout 3 or Fallout like
New
Vegas
no.
you know. And but like,
I don't
with,
think here's
but,
what I'm going to say.
In aspect of The Witcher 3, like because you have all of the different things that you need to think about with both the magic, with the effects that you can have on your weapons and the preparation, things like that, there's a different variety that happens
But that exists in Fallout as well. You can chem yourself up before a fight. You can change specialty ammo in Fallout New Vegas. Even beyond that, there are certain items you have in New Vegas that are just purely limited. Like the holy hand grenades, which are like the one and done, God bless it, exists item. But like you only get three in the whole fucking game.
Sure, yeah.
Like there is heavy resource management in Fallout.
No, I agree with that. Yeah,
because what you're it does play into preparation.
Yeah,
as well.
And I think we're gonna have to agree to disagree on this because we're never gonna agree.
I'm not saying that. I think what you're getting at is that these games do things differently, but I don't
think they do things very differently.
I guess like what it clearly comes down to is I think between us, it's a matter of preference, maybe not so much a matter of an overall universal objective quality. Yeah. I think it's based off our own subjective opinions.
Yeah, no, totally. That's what I'm saying, why we have to agree to disagree because we're going to feel completely different.
But I think we can agree that both games do these things
that actually make them similar in a sense. I see what
you're
saying.
Because they're both robust RPGs. The only thing I would say is, and this is why I think The Witcher does have, like you said, kind of slicker combat. Like it has that somewhat Arkham-style combat that's really fluid. I'm not saying it's just like Arkham, but I'm saying like, you know, like...
But like it was designed to be that way. Fallout was never designed to be that way. Exactly. Yeah.
But I think that's because it's focused on this Geralt Witch Hunter character. Yeah, while Fallout's way more about, there is a somewhat weapon variety. How do you really want to be? You don't even have to kill anyone, honestly.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. No, I get that.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's keep moving. Let's get to November. This was
Should we just stop at October and then...
We'll stop at October.
Yeah, we'll talk about this next time.
We fucking killed it.
We've been talking for a long time.
So, in terms of episode releases, I'm thinking most likely episodes will be coming out every Monday or Tuesday. That date is yet to be determined.
Yeah, basically what we're going to be trying to be doing is we're going to try to get a regular schedule. We're recording every Sunday.
Yes.
Editing Sunday, releasing that night or that morning.
That's really the goal, is to really get something out. Most likely Monday.
Totally, yeah.
And I think that is where we'll be. Yeah. This episode, though...
What is it? It's Wednesday today?
It's Wednesday today.
I would say Friday, probably.
Well, yeah, we'll put... Wait, this will be our return episode. Friday, yeah. And you can expect us to finish the rest of the calendar on Sunday and talk some news.
Exactly. Yeah, and we're going to try to keep with this setup that we have going because the audio quality is like...
Well, I have this set up till Wednesday.
Oh, great. Perfect.
So we can keep rocking
for
this.
Sunday, but like, for Sunday, we'll definitely... try to continue to get this.
Yeah. Oh my god, hell yeah. Oh yeah. So with that said, thanks for joining. As we are literally doing the outro, Steve walks in, who I did not think lived here. And he makes his way with his cargo shorts. In any case though, thanks for coming again. Now we got anything to say to nice people?
Nope. Just make sure you check out the website. Send an email if you got any questions. Check out the editorials put up by Tom. We're going to put some credits in the description of the episode for the songs we've been using. They're royalty free, but we definitely want to give the artist credit because they are fucking awesome.
Shout out to Basadi.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks again for listening.
Yep. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.